Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we update more changes to the Detroit Lions after a full week's time of free agency. We're going to talk about contract extensions for Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell and look into a couple players the Lions recently signed and break down some of their game. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hi, this is Billy Sims, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined by Coach Jerry Angers, named Michigan High School Coach of the Year as well as Coach of the Week by the Detroit Lions. He's also mentored numerous players at the college level and some all the way to the NFL. Great to have you here, Coach.
Oh, great to be here. Hey, before we get started, we got to wish Jahmyr Gibbs a happy birthday, man.
Jahmyr Gibbs' birthday today, isn't it?
Yes.
He's a little bit younger than you and I.
I think he is. Definitely.
We won't do the math on that. I know you're good at that, but we'll let that one alone.
Sure.
Well, Coach, let's first start out with the news that came out late last week on Thursday. Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell both got contract extensions. These are nice. I believe they both add an extra year to their contract, keeping them here through the 2027 season. And I think really the big upping of this is actually they probably got an increase in salary based on performance.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I mean, Campbell signed a 6-year contract when they first hired him, which is unheard of. And, you know, everybody, of course, that was another one of the negativities. What are we signing the guy for 6 years? But I just love that they did that. You know, the Fords are, you know, putting their trust in him. Rod Woods putting their trust in him, of course, because of what they've done. And yeah, and basically tell him, thanks. Here's a bonus. Here's some more money and keep doing what you're doing. So they've made the Detroit Lions a lot of money. We know that.
For sure. And, you know, they aren't the only ones that got an extension. Good old number 54, Chris Spielman, got one as well. And, man, he's another one of those guys where you don't always see what he's doing, but you know he's influencing and his hands are touching all parts of that organization.
Yep. For sure. From a guy that, you know, was here in some of the good times and some of the dark times and, of course, went somewhere else and played and, still lives in the area, loves the area, and one of the best work ethics guys. And you know, when he walks in the locker room, everybody wants to talk to him or look up to him. So yeah, it's just great that they're rewarding the hard work that they put in, and of course, it makes you work harder. So that's good stuff.
That it is. Well, let's move on to the most recent big signing for the Lions. That was their big glaring weakness we still had after the first few days of free agency, and that was the offensive line position. The Detroit Lions signed Kevin Zeitler, guard, from the Baltimore Ravens. The 34-year-old signed a 1-year deal. I've seen it reported by different outlets as a $6 million 1-year deal for the Lions. That sounds like a great contract. What are some of your takes on Zeitler there?
Well, I think two things off of that. You got Zeitler and you got Glasgow, both signed. We didn't go for less money than what the other guys are going for out in free agent market. So I think that's huge. you know, McNeil, you know, McNeil endorsed him because McNeil went against him last year. And I had a thing where he said, yeah, it was like running into a brick wall. And, you know, so that's a big endorsement. Of course, you know, you and I were out at the Ravens game and, you know, I follow the Ravens and, you know, you're putting a guy in, granted, he's 34 years old, but durability, 91.9% of his team's offensive snaps over his career, 91.9%. You know, that's amazing. Knock on wood. We definitely don't want to, you know, jinx that, but he's a mauler. He's a Dan Campbell type guy. I mean, he's going to fit in with those guys. I mean, you look at our offensive line now, adding him and with Glasgow coming back in the year that Glasgow had with Rags and Decker and Sewell. And we got pretty good offensive line, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to second that or third that, depending on how many people are saying it. Could be down the list a little bit. But I will add a few more nuggets of information about Zeitler. Yes, he's 34 years old. He is coming off a Pro Bowl season in 2023, and you did talk about his durability. I mean, he has 181 starts in the league. And I reached out to Pete Gilbert from WBAL because I had him on for a pregame show before the Lions played the Ravens. I said, hey, what can you tell me about Kevin Zeitler? You've seen him there for a few years. And he said, you know what? Kevin was an incredibly reliable player. He played through a lot of pain. Kind of sounds like some guys we know on the offensive line already. He said he was definitely really upbeat by the end of the year. He did say he was pretty banged up this past year, and that might have been a little bit of a difference for him. But he said he was solid in the pass protection and in the run game. Called him a pretty quiet guy, but always willing to do an interview, and said his teammates liked him. He was very accountable. And he wasn't quite sure why the Ravens were willing to let him go, whether it was the injuries or if it was they felt like they had somebody coming up. But he said the Detroit Lions are adding a quality person to the locker room. That's what we want to see. We knew we are thinking anyway. The Lions will probably draft an offensive lineman, considering you always want to add depth there. But you didn't want to go into the draft needing to draft a starter on the offensive line. So this is a very, very good move. And as you already hinted on, him and Glasgow combined, their contracts are great contracts for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, for sure. And I think one of the other things too, we talk about the money and the Ravens cap is not as well off as ours. And I think he was a cap loss. I mean, I think they wanted to sign him. I mean, talking to my friends in Baltimore, that was the first thing they said was they couldn't afford to bring him back. And, you take a guy like that, granted 34, but durability, knock on wood, let's keep it. It sounds like he will play through whatever he has to play through to stay on the field. So again, like you said, filling in with the rest of the boys on the team.
For sure. And yeah, you're right. Baltimore has made some moves. Derrick Henry's a big free agent signing. So they are balancing salary cap stuff over there. So let's move over to the other side. This was the area the Lions were waiting for, at least Lions fans were waiting to see a big move. And this might be the biggest splash, if you even call it a splash. I mean, the guy would make a big splash in free agency, and that is defensive tackle DJ Reader coming to Detroit, 2-year deal out of Cincinnati, played with the Bengals. Coach, this guy, they're saying he doesn't always get a ton of sacks, but he gets a lot of pressure. He's a disruptor, and he gets it in the area of the field where the Lions have been lacking it, which is up the middle. So tell me what your thoughts are on this Reader signing.
Well, it's huge. I mean, he's a knockback guy. He's a guy that's going to shrink the pocket. He's going to gain the line of scrimmage. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, he's done a great job in his career with Houston and Cincinnati. You know, granted, he's coming off that quad tendon injury. I think he had the exact same one a couple years ago, and he came back, was an all-pro guy. What that does for us is it helps McNeil, because I think McNeil, you know, what do you have? I don't remember the sack number last year, 5.5, was it 6.5 sacks? I think he's going to end up with more, because they're going to have to double back the knockback guy, and they're going to be able to use McNeil in, you know, other situations than that point. You know, now you have two great interior D lineman, and again, probably top in that. They're going to be start talking to him if he comes back and does what he does, is, you know, the top five interior guys. You know, what we've seen, what the rest of our the North has done with bringing in the running backs and stuff like that. And that's going to give us an opportunity to stamp our run defense as well as it's been. And I think he's going to do it. The biggest thing I read about him was how much he wanted to be here, how much he was following the Lions after their season was done, how much he was, looking at all the tweets and going, man, I think I want to play for that team. And one of the statements he said was he can't wait to get in here and work with our young guys. And of course we forget, I think we just hired the best defensive line coach in the NFL. And man, is our young guys going to flourish because of that. And, he's only going to be a positive thing for our locker room and our field.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing that often gets unheralded at times is the coaching. And we know, you look at so many different players in this league, coaching impacts their trajectory so much. You've seen that with so many first-round draft picks. So that will help. And DJ Reader signing does add something to the Lions defensive line that we didn't have. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's a 2-year contract worth up to $27 million. So the Lions didn't break the bank and give a massive 3 to 5 year contract to a high name player, that they gave it to a player who has had a history of success, but has had some injuries. And that's a common theme we kind of see throughout some of Brad Holmes' signings, but that is a big move for them. And I think it's going to be a difference maker as well. And it's also a needed thing because you talked about it. The running games seem to be improving around the NFC North. And we know Benito Jones left, and so you wanted somebody that was going to be able to step into a starting role and have a bigger impact even than that. But that also tells me the Lions might not be done here because we did lose some depth with some players leaving the team. So the defensive line, I think, is still a work in progress.
Oh, and, off that, we have the draft. We have those four picks in the top 100, and there's some pretty good D linemen coming out. And another good D lineman, young guy, that's going to come in. And again, go back to Reader. We're talking about him. 12 playoff games, 1 Super Bowl appearance. Okay, you got a guy that's hungry. He's been there. He can help our younger guys get through that. I mean, we jumped in the playoffs last year and got all the way to the championship, with no experience. And now you bring another guy in with these guys. And again, he had the Super Bowl appearance and lost. He wants to go back and win. So just a great addition. And didn't break the bank and going to give us some, better numbers than what we had last year than it should be.
Oh, I agree. And I believe it was at his press conference. He talked about there being a bad taste in his mouth from losing that Super Bowl. And so he knew what the Lions players felt after losing that NFC championship game. Now, Coach, staying on that defensive line, another addition the Lions made was signing defensive end Marcus Davenport. James Cook and I talked about him in our last episode. It's a 1-year, $6.5 million deal. The Lions know him from playing with the Saints. He was with the Vikings last year, only 4 games due to injury. This is a guy battled injury, but has a lot of potential and upside. And I know you looked at his game a little bit. What can you tell the listeners about him?
Well, he's going to push the pocket too. And he's got, he's got good speed. He's got, he's pretty long. So I think that's going to help him out. He had 23 and a half career sacks. Again, I think he played in 4 games last year. He was drafted 14th overall, by the Saints. And of course, like you said, Campbell and Glenn know about him. So, I was reading a thing today on him. It was a quote he put in there this is a 1-year deal. It's basically one and done or one and get a longer contract. So he's going to be working. Guys like that are great because, first of all, they had bad taste in their mouth, like you said earlier, only playing 4 games last year. But they also want to, prove that they still belong in the league. And so I think it's going to be one of those guys that he's going to come back healthy, and come back and ready to work. And he knows what's expected of him. With the staff. So I think it's a huge addition. Again, not a huge splash player, but somebody that's hungry and somebody that's not chasing money, but chasing a Super Bowl. That's my feeling from reading the stuff up on him. And I look forward to seeing him taking some of the pressure off Hutch and McNeil and those guys. And, hopefully, and another guy there, another guy that's got some years under his belt that can come in and help a Houston and help a Pascal and, you know, we don't, Kaminsky doesn't need any help. He only has one speed and that's straightforward. So, but I think just another great sign to keep us with cap money and to help, you know, make our defense that much better. So
I agree with those things. And really that move is helping raise the depth level of those rushers, right? We're bringing up the quality and trying to raise it up. So that's really exciting to see that happening. And I think another reason just to bring more optimism into it for Lions fans. And again, we know the Lions aren't necessarily done. We still have the rest of free agency, but we also have the draft as well. Another area the Lions addressed right away, which was really important, was the secondary. Now they signed Amik Robertson to a 2-year deal. He was a defensive back for the Raiders, and they traded for Carlton Davis, the number one defensive back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year, had 1 year remaining on his contract. The big thing we've been hearing is the physicality. And I know you really looked at both of these guys and kind of tell the listeners, what is it that you think the Lions are getting out of these guys? And why are these the guys that you think the Lions went after?
Well, again, we didn't, you know, Snead, everybody, we all want Snead, but Snead's going to cost us a freaking arm and a leg, you know? And again, I'd love to have, you know, anybody would love to have the guy. I mean, there's a bunch of guys out there. Let's talk about Robertson. Three words: dog, quick, feisty. Dog, quick, feisty. And you know, supposedly undersized and all that stuff. Max Crosby endorsed him right away. And I freaking respect, I love Max Crosby. And when that guy, it was within a couple hours that going to a great, good, you know, congratulations, Detroit, blah, blah, blah. You got yourself a dog. And I think that's one of the biggest things. Again, he's not the guy that, you know, jumps out at you with size and, you know, oh my God, he's long and he's, you know, extremely, but he's quick and he's feisty and he's a dog. I mean, talk about fitting into the Aaron Glenn's defense. And, you know, not that the other guys that we've had aren't, but I think he's just going to raise that bar with the rest of our defensive backs, you know, just from reading what, you know, what I've read from them. So, I mean, anything else that you heard on that?
Yeah, you know, I heard it was the physical nature of these guys. Yeah. And I think both of them talked about, look at their game when they're playing man coverage, not zone coverage. And that seems to be exactly what Glenn wants. So when he can bring pressure, he's got guys that can be physical up at the line and not get beat right away, because that seems like what happened enough times that it became a weakness. And so I think that physicality is going to be a great thing, and it raises things up. I mean, it adds to it. And again, this doesn't mean the Lions are done in this area as well. You know, last year we went in the draft thinking we were going to draft a defensive back, but the guy went right before our pick. And so the draft is unpredictable. This was a smart play, because I think I said this in the other show too. This is another area where the Lions had to not get worse. They had to get better. Actually, even staying the same wasn't good enough. They needed to improve if they wanted to really be legitimate in their quest for repeating as NFC North champions. And they did that with these moves here. And likely not done yet either, because there's still a lot of depth pieces that need to be put in.
No, and I agree. And I, you know, and talking about Davis, his man-to-man, I watched a lot of his film and his man-to-man. Oh, he's long, dude. And, you know, that's the biggest thing. I think he loves playing man-to-man. And I would, you know, I don't have the ability to break all the film down and get all the film from the, like those guys do, but I would love to see his comparison on his completions compared to his comparison on his zone stuff that Tampa ran. You know, and again, let's talk about endorsement. Jamar Chase has best corner he's played. And I watched a couple of those plays, that corner route against Jamar Chase, that, you know, Jamar made a couple moves. He got in there in the end zone and he come across the body and just reached in front of Jamar Chase and knocked the ball out. I mean, just you look at things like that and you go, wow. You know, and again, you know, what's the biggest thing about Davis? 9 playoff games, 1 Super Bowl, 1 wants another ring and has the experience to help our, you know, with our younger guys and help our defense. So, didn't he already restructure his contract? You know,
yeah, the Lions did do some restructuring where he actually gets some more money up front on that right away. But it also is a way that lowers the salary cap hit this year. Now, it's not an extension for him. They put some void years on there. He said he's open to an extension. He wanted to get his toes wet first, kind of see how things are. But it shows that, hey, he's looking to be invested. And if things go well, he's looking to stay around. So that's great.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So I think two great pickups. Again, made our DB room deeper, and just brought in some different, brand of guy. And again, you know, we read about him. We talked about Aaron Glenn said that he felt he played too much zone this year. You know, and again, trying this guy where he's more of a let's pressure, and we got pressure guys, man. We got guys we can bring in and run, schemes and put pressure on guys. And now we got guys that are gonna lock guys down. So. It's good. It's a good fit and definitely going to help us out.
Oh, for sure. And again, that's another example of trying to raise the ceiling somewhere else so that in another part of the team's roster. And I think it did that. Let's talk about a move that happened, a player leaving, Anthony Pittman. Might not get too much recognition from too many people. He was, I think, our fourth or fifth, maybe our fifth string linebacker, but a key special teams contributor. And so he's left. The one thing that you can't help but think about is Trevor Nowoski from last year, linebacker, right behind him on the depth chart, key special teams contributor, or growing into that at least. And Nowoski got taken as a waiver claim, and he's over in Arizona. And it's like, man, you know, if we knew Pittman was going to be gone, and I think the Lions let Pittman look for a starting job, he got it. Nowoski looks like he's going to have a starting opportunity, at least in Arizona. I mean, that tells you how much depth the Lions suddenly have at linebacker if, like, the fifth string linebackers are getting starting roster shots on other franchises.
Oh, huge, huge. And actually, it's funny because I just talked to Jim Nowoski the other day, catching up, had talked to him in, about a week or so. And I should say a couple weeks. And I brought that up with Pittman, and Pittman wanted, he talked to Trevor because they still talk. And he said, I have an opportunity to go and possibly start somewhere. And why would I not take that opportunity? And, it's sad to see him go. Sad to see both those guys go, because we knew what we had, especially with Pittman was, I think he had 5 years, right? A special team contributor for us. And, I wish him the best. He was a part of the, he's from Wayne State and, another Division II guy. And, he made his bed. And now he's maybe able to go in and hopefully sleep in it and play linebacker somewhere.
That would be great. Yes, wishing both of them well. I believe the Lions will see Trevor Nowoski and Arizona out west this year. So let's move over. There was another signing that the Lions made this weekend, and that was Donovan Peoples-Jones. They signed him to a one-year deal, wide receiver. I think it's a very nice depth signing. Of course, they traded for him at the trade deadline last year. Did not have a huge impact last year, but it can also be very hard for a receiver to have such a consequential impact with a midseason move like that. Plus, most of the Lions receivers stayed healthy down the stretch. Now, I notice he and Antoine Green are tied for the tallest two wide receivers on the roster, and that's something the Lions needed, is they wanted some height and an outside presence. And, Peoples-Jones didn't have a major impact last year, but he has had a good season or two in the league. What do you think about this move?
I think, again, long receiver, very athletic, track athlete from high school. He was a return guy this year went down. And I think that's huge. He had, I think it was, he had 700 some yards at Cleveland 2 years ago, right? Was it yep. 2 years ago? So, and he's young, what is he? He's 25, 26, right? Somewhere in that area. So, I mean, that's just another guy that we signed to keep in, and a homegrown boy that, wanting nothing more than to bring a Super Bowl back to where he grew up and the team that he rooted for. So I think a huge, huge sign there. We traded, like you said, traded for him at the deadline last year for a reason. Everybody was kind of questioning it. Well, we just found out why, because now we just signed him to a deal to keep him around. And his upside is huge. Let's just leave it at that. His upside is huge.
Yeah, I would agree. He's 25 years old. You're right, not very old. He has a lot of upside still. The Lions know a little bit more about him, having had him here for that second half of the season. And he'll get a full offseason. So we'll get to kind of see a little bit more about him and what that's like. And it just adds more depth for right now, because if you remember, the Lions were like trading for Denzel Mims last summer. They were looking for anybody that could fill that outside role. And right now, as of us recording this, Josh Reynolds has not re-signed with the Lions. We don't know if that's going to happen. If that doesn't happen, then Donovan Peoples-Jones definitely moves up into the depth chart a little bit higher, and we'll have to see how it all plays out. And this still does not mean the Lions won't draft a receiver. There is that possibility. Some people think it could be as early as the end of the first round, or it could be second or third round, because there are some deep receivers in this class, and we'll get into that a little bit more down the road. But yeah, a one-year deal for Donovan Peoples-Jones, and it's a very affordable one. I think it's up to $2 million, so that is great. A position I want to come to briefly, Coach, we haven't talked about it, and it's one that was a strength last year, but right now it's looking a little thin, and that's the safety position. Because C.J. Gardner-Johnson has left, Tracy Walker was released. We have our two starters, who were the starters at the end of the season, Ifeatu Melifonwu and Kirby Joseph. But we need some depth there, and we probably want to bring some experience back as well, because that's a lot of experience lost with those two guys. So I still think there's a really good chance the Lions will sign a free agent safety with at least 3 to 4 years starting experience, if not more. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to, because I think they want to play games with Branch. I think they want to move him around. I think, you know, Robertson's another guy that could probably fit into that slot, whether it's slot corner, or, you know, box, whatever. So, you know, you definitely have to have that depth. You know, look at last year, you know, Walker, you know, was coming back off an injury. Then we lose Ducey. And then, you know, and again, the two guys we have are really good and really young. And once you know, hopefully we can add a veteran depth person back there to, you know, again, help coach those guys up and be able to come in when need be, you know, because it is a long season and there are injuries we have to play over. So, yeah, I think that's something you'll probably see, I think, probably in the free agent market more than a draft market.
That makes a lot of sense, because like you said, the guys we have right now are younger. So you're looking for someone a little bit more experienced, a little bit leadership opportunity. And then there's some guys we know Lions fans are crossing their fingers and hoping somehow maybe come back to Detroit, hint, hint. So we'll keep our eyes and ears open on that one and see if we can get that to happen.
For sure.
Now, Coach, I want to bring up a theme that we have seen about these guys the Lions have brought in, and it is the theme of injury concerns, right? Now, we're going to have to see how this plays out. But we know that when DJ Reader had this injury before, he came back and it was in the other leg, and he came back strong and did well. And we know that, you know, while some guys have been banged up, it doesn't seem like it's been the same injury over and over. There've been some different injuries. And so first off, I got to believe the Lions probably did their homework. They probably know more about this injury stuff than you and I do, or at least more, especially more than me. But, you know, you as a coach have a better insight than the average fan, you know, that allowed them to get some guys at less of a price. I mean, you can even talk about Emmanuel Mosley coming back on a less expensive deal, hoping he'll be a little bit ahead of schedule from last year and being healthy. He could have a huge impact as well. What are your thoughts on the Lions bringing in so many guys who are coming off of injuries this past year?
Well, you know, when you know, the first thing I think you and I talked about, you know, we heard that Reader was coming in and everybody's like, oh, my God, he's got injuries, or, you know, but they brought him in to meet with their medical staff. I mean, that's the biggest thing is, and what, you know, can he come back? When's he going to be back? Is he ready for season? You know, again, we don't know exactly what the doctor said, but those guys are the experts. They have the best on, you know, they have the best, you know, medical staff looking at these guys saying, okay, you know, this thing's healed well. I'm sure he's had MRIs and things like that. And said, yeah, he came back from it before and he'll be back with, you know, he should be back with it now. And I think that's one of the biggest things that people have to understand is they're not saying, oh, we're going to get this guy at a cheap price and then he's never going to play for us. Knock on wood. You know, he should be ready to play. So I don't fear that as much other than it's a depth thing. It could be, you know, maybe Reader doesn't make it back, you know, until week 3, week 4, You know, I mean, again, I don't know. I mean, I'm not the doctor, so. But again, we talked about they're building, they're creating depth. Look what we did last year. We were banged up. When were we the healthiest going into the playoffs? You know, right? That's when we were the healthiest.
That is true. That was one of the great things we had on our side was that health going into the playoffs towards the end there. And DJ Reader, it sounds like, you know, the injury recovery schedule right now is looking pretty good, that it's going to be maybe they didn't give a date. He didn't want to give that, but he said he'll be ready. So there's a lot of optimism around him. And like you said, the Lions medical staff, they checked him out. And so other staff members of the Lions, let's talk about the general manager for just a moment, because Alabama had its pro day today. And there were five general managers in attendance, one of which, Brad Holmes. Not a shock, because, well, the Lions took two players from Alabama last year, I believe, and maybe one the year before. And so not a shock to see him in attendance. But, yeah, you'll be seeing Lions brass making their way around. You'll probably see Chris Spielman or hear about that. And I've also been told, pay attention where Chris Spielman shows up, because if he shows up somewhere – we often draft a guy from that place.
Yeah, I think, you know, and it's, you know, Alabama's got three guys that I would be, I'd probably be doing cartwheels if we got any one of those top three, you know, Turner and those two pretty decent DBs. I saw that Kool-Aid ran a 4.47 today on a Jones fracture, and he's having surgery. And he's having surgery tomorrow, so I'm sure he jumped up the board again. And you know, Chris, you know, I think Chris Spielman is the guy that goes around and doesn't look at his numbers and doesn't look at the film, but looks at and watches how they're reacting and doing and what they're doing during drills and how they communicate with people. You know, get into that head part that Dan Campbell talked about. Is there's every one of these guys at these pro days and these combines are dudes. You know, they're great. They're great football players, and they wouldn't be good. Wouldn't be offered to go to those things. But how are they going to perform? You know, in 2-a-days, how are they going to perform when they get banged up? How are they going to perform if somebody jumps ahead of them on the depth chart? And I think that's what Chris Spielman is doing behind the scenes that people don't realize.
Oh yeah, he's got that old school thing. He's looking for the football player. He's looking for all those intangibles. Right, the things that you can't necessarily measure on a piece of paper or with a speed gun or with all these other things. And so definitely appreciate that and his insights and experience. And we've seen pretty quickly how valuable all that has been. Coach, any final thoughts on the Lions before I throw a couple of things out there about some NFC North competitors?
No, I just think we've addressed the needs we were concerned with. Now we're going into a draft, and I think we're going to be able to draft like we have in the last few years, the best available player. And if that best available players, and with one of these guys we signed, you know, on these 1-year deals, 2-year deals, you know, they're going to, you know, we kept enough money. I still think we have enough money set back that there's going to be a splash somewhere down the road, or he's going to go after somebody, or he's going to hold on to some money and wait for somebody to get cut during fall ball, you know? And so, you know, I think we're in a great situation and looking forward to, how the draft, pans out, in April. So
for sure. And, you know, we may hear of an extension or two before that draft gets here, cause we know we got some key players and nothing's come out on that yet. So let's turn our attention just briefly here as we wrap things up, around the NFC North, man, our division has not been passive when it comes to making some moves. I mean, we saw the Green Bay Packers change their running game up a little bit by letting Aaron Jones go. We talked about Josh Jacobs going over there. But even more recently, the Bears, in addition to some of the moves they were making, like DeAndre Swift, they also got Keenan Allen. So they have him as a wide receiver. Oh, and they have officially said goodbye to Justin Fields, traded him to Pittsburgh. Chicago should be using that first overall pick on a quarterback at this point. That's what everybody's believing to happen. The Vikings, they have acquired Sam Darnold after Kirk Cousins left, but they also acquired another first-round pick. So speculation is they might be trading up to get their quarterback of the future. Oh, and by the way, Aaron Jones, who used to run for the Packers, is now running for the Vikings this year. And so there's more moving parts than normal in our division. Plus, the Vikings added some great defensive players. What's your just quick impression of some of these moves?
Well, I think the big thing is they, you know, the Lions all of a sudden took the division over, and everybody's looking at the, I think they're looking at, going after the Lions. I mean, they have to, you know, they're trying to put their pieces in, you know, everybody's, you know, I mean, I've seen some of the things where Green Bay's favored now in our division. I mean, I saw the one sports, not Greenfield or Green, who cares, Green, I don't care what his name is, said that we missed our window of opportunity, which I love the expert sports writers. I mean, this is beautiful. This is exactly what we want. We're getting a little bit of respect. Of course, we're getting respect within the coaching world and in the player world, but we're not getting it as much with the stuff we read all the time on social media. And so I think that's the biggest thing. I think the Packers are, you know, they want the division back, and the Vikings are trying to make moves to grow up. And of course, Chicago's tired of being the doormat. So we talked about it, second best winning percentage of any division last year. The other one was the AFC North. And we may be getting back to the black and blue division, man. Let's go. And but guess what? Lions are still on top. Come get us.
Well, you're exactly right. I think a lot of other teams are mobilizing because they realize they needed to make some changes. And yeah, it will not be an easy division. I don't expect it to be. Yeah, there's a lot of variables, especially the quarterback position for Chicago and for Minnesota. But I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, the hype train was so out of control last year that all everybody wanted to do was talk about the Lions. Well, now they're like, hey, you know, the Lions are passe. We're looking at somebody else. We think it's the Packers. Let it be the Packers in your eye. And we will just keep hunting. So I'm looking forward to this offseason. I expect a few more movements before the draft. We'll be back here in April to start talking about the draft and getting you ready for that. Coach Sam, thank you so much for joining and talking Lions.
Oh, anytime. You know, we love this. Keeps these beautiful spring days at 32, or what is it, 27 degrees in northern Michigan. Makes it seem spring, or at least makes it sunny. Talking about the Lions.
Yes, it does. It helps your mood with that sunshine, even when the air throughout the state is cold. Well, thank you so much for tuning in, folks. You can find all the episodes at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. And while you're at it, tell your friends about the show and please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.